the OTB Sports app. Listen to OTB Sports Radio 24/7, plus all your favorite podcasts.
Do you not realize how crazy those things were?
The OTB Sports app, available to download now from your app store. The OTB Podcast Network.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
This is News Talk.
All right, you're welcome along. It's Thursday's Off the Ball. Nathan with you until 10 o'clock this evening. We've got a packed show. Brian O'Driscoll coming your way from 8 o'clock, giving his thoughts on Warren Gatland's Lions squad. The big story, no Johnny Sexton in that 37-man squad. No place either for James Ryan or Gary Ringrose, but eight Irish players have been selected, including Bundee Aki and Jack Conan. So lots to talk to Brian O'Driscoll about. We want to get your thoughts on that selection as well into 53106. Grace O'Flanagan, the Irish hockey player, will join us as well between 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock. And lots of football as well over the next 3 hours. It is an all-English Champions League final. Manchester City against Chelsea. John Giles will give us his thoughts on that at 7:30. We'll also hear from Shane Keegan, who, as well as talking about the Champions League final and all that's going on in the Premier League, will also be having a chat about his time at Dundalk and how it all came to an end. The News Round and Off the Ball and News Talk is with thanks to Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters. Richie McCormack, good evening.
How are you?
Joe Malloy, good evening.
Gents, evening, how are we doing?
Are you outraged? Are you outraged, Joe?
Oh, outraged. Gregor Townsend, we're coming for you. You've done a job on us, Gregor Townsend. How many Scots in that back line? 20?
Five Scots in the back line alone. Brian O'Driscoll, you can watch it already. Don't you? You can watch it already on our social channels. He was on a little bit earlier. And the Scots had a voice in the room. And they had strong voices in the room. And that has clearly had a big influence. When we're talking about who should be the out half, Johnny Sexton, unfortunately, had nobody there to put the hand up and say, like, Johnny's been injured before, but it's all been okay. When it really matters, he's always been there for us. Unfortunately, the consistent injuries really he's had since the autumn, hamstring injuries and the knocks to the head that he's had in recent weeks, the HIAs, have meant that they feel he's not durable enough for a trip to South Africa, which I'm sure is a huge blow to Sexton personally.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Like, Dan Biggar was always going to go. Farrell, I think, was always going to go. So it did feel like Sexton versus Russell. And I said it to Matt Williams and Chris Jones last night in the show. Just thought, if you're Gregor Townsend, you've had history with Finn Russell, you're the man dictating the line's attack in many ways, you're going to have a big say over the selection of 10s and what do you need at 10. I really felt he'd go all out to get Finn Russell on the plane, which is understandable. Like, it's not a disgrace or anything. But there have been so many times, even in recent history, where with Russell, he makes mistakes and you think, well, that's him. He's played himself off the lines playing. You know, even the Heineken Champions Cup final with the intercept pass, those tight games, that was a game I remember people saying, oh, he's played himself off the plane. But Townsend was always there for him. Townsend was effusive about Russell during Six Nations. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and look, maybe he doesn't feel like a Gatland-type selection. Maybe there's some kind of logic there. God, he'd be a bit of a maverick off the bench if we have to chase a game. So there is a logic there. But on the Sexton point, I mean, where I think he will very fairly feel a little bit harshly treated is, yes, there were the soft tissue injuries in the autumn, but he got it together here for Six Nations time. Like, he played 80 minutes back to back to back, 380 minutes back to back to back. He beat Scotland. He was excellent against England. Like, he played 310 minutes in that Six Nations. That's more than Dan Biggar. That's more than Russell. Knocks to the head. Look, the long-term consequences of that are very serious, and that is a wider issue. But in the short term, if you're Gatland, the knocks to the head, they can happen to a 21-year-old. It's you know, unfortunate it happens in quick succession, but I'm not sure that's a sign that his hamstrings have gone either, or his legs have gone. So, you know, I thought there was a definite case to be made in that selection room on that basis, and clearly nobody made the case strong enough. Look, it's South Africa. They're big. They're physical. They would have run at him. The other thing I have thought was, like, just bring 37, bring 38,
yeah.
Bring him. You know, like, who's imposing this made-up rule? You can bring him and see how he's going. Because if he's going well, if he's in one of those months or 2 months where he's feeling good and his body is not deserting him, then he's still the best out half there for me.
Yeah. We all love watching Finn Russell, Richie, but that's because he's playing for Scotland or Racing. He's in an opposition jersey and there's the brilliance, the maverick in him, and there's the mistakes, but it doesn't really impact on us at all. Now, he could potentially, depending on how a test goes, be playing the final 20 minutes of a line series with it all in the balance. And in one way, yeah, I really want Finn Russell, but another way, I'm now really nervous about Finn Russell.
Yeah, and I think it's probably something we shouldn't even worry about, because if we're looking at who's going to start at 10, I'd imagine Owen Farrell is going to dictate the balance of those games, and I'd probably still think that Dan Biggar is going to be second in that pecking order, with Russell something of a, you know, midweek player, something of a maverick maybe that might turn the game if he's introduced off the bench.
Well, that balance is interesting, because the feeling seems to be Farrell in all likelihood will start at 12, as he did in the last couple of tests in New Zealand, which would mean that Biggar will be starting at 10, and then automatically you're looking as having Finn Russell off the bench.
Well, given the way Gatland spoke about the tandem of Robbie Henshaw and Bundiaki today, and he did mention them as a duo, it seems like he'll want to at least trial them before going into that first test, because he liked the look of them. He liked the variety, he said, that they bring to the midfield. And if I feel like he's going to be going with tested duos, and he might, with that in mind, opt to pick Farrell at out half. But on the Sexton thing and on the injuries thing, I think the head injuries have massively impacted on Townsend and Gatland and Coe's decision on this, because, like, if you look at it, like Joe mentioned there, the three games back-to-back-to-back in the Six Nations, outside of that, you would struggle to find a series of games like that for Jonathan Sexton this season. And in the past 3 months, like since February, in that opening game against Wales, he's shipped three knocks to the head. Now, he's training, doing ball work and stuff like that with Leinster at the moment, and doing running, but they haven't been able to risk him in a game. We don't know when he's going to be, you know, next into a game for Leinster. His lack of minutes hasn't been a problem before, but I just think it's the fact that he's had three head injuries over the course of 3 months, and that he's still laid off with the most recent one. I mean, that's a massive question mark to be bringing over to a tour which is notoriously attritional. I mean, and if you pick up a bang in training, if you pick up a bang in the first, you know, provincial match, then that's you done.
But that will happen. Like, in the last tour to South Africa in 2009, 10 players had their tours cut short because of injury. And in a sort of perverse way, I think Joe touched on it, with a head injury, it's very black and white. You're either okay or you're not. Yes, there's the long-term consequences that we can't really speculate with Johnny Sexton, but if the doctors say he's okay, he is okay to go and play. Whereas with, say, a persistent hamstring injury, you're always worried that it'll go, that if he hasn't been ruled out because of this knock to his head and the missing the La Rochelle game, well, then we have to assume, considering they haven't said it, that he should be back fit by then. And it does feel quite harsh that, like, anybody can get injured over in South Africa. But he has shown that he can put together a run when it's needed. And maybe you don't need to play him in every game. Maybe at his age, automatically, he's going to be 36 by then. You're protecting him. You're playing him in 2-3 warm-up games. You know with Sexton, with his fitness, that he can come back and be pretty much at it. And just as an alternative, even there, as somebody putting some pressure on Biggar, because if he makes the decision to play Farrell, and listen, I understand Aki's there and maybe he's in the Ben Teo role of 4 years ago and he starts the first test and Gatland realises the error of his ways again, it just seems like Sexton definitely has something to offer. Though in saying that, Joe, like, Finn Russell is probably in some ways the only real exciting player in this squad. He's the only one close to a maverick.
Oh, look, I take all Richie's points and Sexton as well and yours. Like, I've ebbed and flowed on it. I think pre-Six Nations, based on his autumn, you would have said, well, there's no chance he can go. Like, his body is deserting him. And then he surprised me and lots of people by being the form out half in the Six Nations. Beats England, beats the Scots, you know. I think Gatland, watching that game where he's against England, where it seems Bundiaki really convinced him, I would have thought he would have had to be struck by Johnny Sexton's form then as well. So I would get the impression he was on the plane then, and as Richie says, it's been a bad run since. But that nagging feeling I have at the back of my head is, well, anyone can get hit in the head. Again, it's very serious, and there's a longer term conversation about that in rugby, but Gatland's not worried about that. So I just thought, you know, now to what? First test is in July. I am surprised, I have to say. I think Townsend won the day on that one. I think, well, and that's fair enough. He's in charge of the attack.
But we're 3 months away from the final test.
Yeah.
So there's a hell of a lot that will happen between now and then. And listen, I'm sure Johnny Sexton will be waiting by his phone. And maybe in a month's time, if everything is perfect and he's fit and there's any sort of a doubt to anyone else, you'd have to assume he's probably first in line. The other big shock, particularly if we were talking 12 months ago, is that James Ryan hasn't made it. I know he's had an injury-plagued year. It seems that Warren Gatland read a lot into what La Rochelle and Will Skelton did to Leinster and Ryan last weekend and has looked at, again, that obscene physical challenge that South Africa are going to bring and thought, actually, there's players with more bulk than James Ryan and I'm just going to throw them in the mix.
Yeah, does. I mean, he did seem nailed on from a long time ago, like 2018. They were, you know, could he be Lions captain? You know, you remember this kind of stuff being discussed. Yeah, look, Gatland likes size. He certainly wants size in South Africa. I was just watching him there. He was doing a live chat on Sky Sports and he was reminiscing about 2009. And he was drawing a parallel with the tour where he said, oh, yeah, like a bit like in 09, we're not facing any internationals in the warm-up games until the first test match. And he was saying in 09, we thought we were in a really good place going into the first test match. And then up front, when we faced South Africa that first day, we got a rude awakening. And he made a bunch of changes for the second test. So I think that has probably stayed with him. Like, he has not taken any chances in this regard. And I would think La Rochelle, the evidence of La Rochelle meant to him that, well, I'm taking a chance there and I ain't risking it. But it's so disappointing for Ryan. I guess, look, people who know more than me would tell you his form hasn't been great either. Maybe for someone of his quote-unquote size, I say that as
the little lad, James Ryan.
Yeah, for a man of his size, he probably needed to be in red-hot form.
Yeah, it does feel, and listen, it is the same sort of four-year cycle like an Olympics. You need to peak physically and form-wise at exactly the right time for this. And you know, somebody like Conor Murray, who 3-4 months ago there seemed to be a lot of question marks around, now you're looking at it going, like, there's no way Conor Murray isn't the starting scrum half in this Lions team. And there are good news stories, we should say, from an Irish point of view. Like, Jack Conan has had the most horrible couple of years since he picked up the foot injury at the start of the World Cup, had a neck problem. Like, coming into the Six Nations, he'd barely played for Leinster in the space of a couple of years. Comes in, has this monstrous game against England, backs it up. Like, I would have said 3 months ago, if you asked Leinster fans, who's your best number eight? Jack Conan probably would have been third on the list. And now, here he is, going to a Lions.
Yeah, it's amazing, totally. And Tyke Byrne, what a story he is. You know, rejected, gone, about to, you know, head for the business world, and then got a chance in Wales, and boy, has he made the most of it. And it's like, he was, you just had to pick him on the Six Nations form. It's such a weird thing, the whole, like, so there's some lads there, like Bundy Aki and maybe Jack Conan, on the basis of, like, this powerhouse performance against England, suddenly booked themselves on the plane. And then there's other fellas who've done nothing, and they've got money in the bank from, like, 4 years ago, and they get on the plane. So, you know, it's such a mishmash of rationale.
Yeah, Richie, I think you have some audio here from the press conferences.
Yeah, as you mentioned, the name of Jonathan Sexton, a notable absentee from the Lions squad named to tour South Africa today. The Ireland captain had previously toured in 2013 and 2017, and also missing out, as we mentioned there, Sexton's Leinster and Ireland teammates James Ryan and Gary Ringrose. Head coach Warren Gatland has been explaining Sexton's absence.
Look, there's no doubt that that was one of the toughest decisions that we had to make. And I've got a huge amount of respect for Johnny and you know, his quality. But it's such a pivotal position for us, and it's about sending a message to the tens that we have selected, that we have the confidence and belief in them to do a job. And when we looked at it, where we were going in South Africa, and probably the thing that kept coming back to us was Johnny's durability and being able to put a string of matches together consecutively and big matches together. You know, he's been rested on a number of occasions, and that, unfortunately, that's possibly what swayed it for us in terms of that. You know, it's not having the confidence that he can get through what's going to be a tough physical tour.
I'll be interested to hear what Johnny Sexton has to say about this if he does speak over the coming weeks, Joe, because he has always railed against this notion whenever it has been put out there and questions raised about his health, that he doesn't feel that if you go with the medical advice, it's really nobody else's business.
Yeah, and look, Gatland's rationale is hard to argue with as well. Like, I don't think they're having this conversation across the water right now. You know, I don't think I think they're like, yeah, 35. I mean, come on, no chance. So it's just that late flourish in the Six Nations. I was kind of with Gatland until that, but that did give me pause for thought. So, yeah, It's a difficult one. I mean, 2-3 years ago, he certainly goes. The soft tissue stuff had cleared up. Look, it's very hard to argue when they say we don't have confidence, because there is a track record there. But I don't know. I'd have taken him. I'll be surprised to see how much Finn Russell actually plays as well, you know?
Yeah, he'll play those couple of midweek games and we'll all get very excited about it, and there'll be a little bit of momentum and a push to get him in the team, and it'll never really happen. What else has been said today, Richie?
Yeah, 8 Ireland internationals making Warren Gatland's squad at 37. Bundy Aki, Robbie Henshaw, Conor Murray, Tyke Byrne, Jack Conan, Tyke Furlong, Ian Henderson and Andrew Porter will all travel to South Africa. Despite not playing for England in 3 years, prop Sam Simmons gets the call. He's one of 11 England players, with 10 from Wales and another 8 from Scotland. Alan Wynne-Jones will captain the squad, having previously had the honour in the deciding test against Australia 8 years ago. And Gatland, as we mentioned there, also pinpointed the game that cost James Ryan his place.
Look, James is unlucky. I thought we saw an example for me on last weekend with Leinster against La Rochelle. And if you want to have a look at a match, probably the La Rochelle side kind of reminded me of what we're going to face in South Africa. We're going to face big physical men, and we saw that with Skelton. We saw that with how direct they were in terms of coming off 9. And probably in the last couple of years with Leinster and a couple of those big games, and I know they were really good against Exeter, that we saw in that weekend, and we probably saw 12 months ago against Saracens in the European match, where people have really gone pretty hard at them physically up front and that challenge. And for the Bundy situation, I thought that combination of Bundy Aki and Robbie Henshaw was outstanding for Ireland against England, and we've got to be able to have that balance between the physicality that they bring and also the ability for us to play rugby. And I think both of those players have got that. They can mix it and be able to roll their sleeves up when it does get tough, but they've also can play some pretty positive and very attractive rugby also.
If you get onto the OTB Sports app now, you can get the press conferences from today. You'll get Brian O'Driscoll's analysis as well. It's also coming up on the radio from 8 o'clock. We'll keep a close eye as well on the football. We have an All-English Champions League final. We may well have an All-English Europa League final as well, Richie.
Yeah, Arsenal's task is by far the tougher of the two English sides in action tonight. They have to come from 2-1 down at home to Villarreal to make that Europa League final in Gdansk. For Arsenal, Bert Leno starts in goal, and an imaginative back three of Rob Holding, Pablo Mari and Granit Xhaka. Then across the middle, it's Hector Bellerin, Emile Smith-Rowe, Thomas Partey and Bukayo Saka, with a front trio of Nicolas Pepe, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang and Martin Odegaard. For Villarreal, Geronimo Rulli starts in goal. They go to back four of Mario Gaspar, Raul Albiol, Pau Torres and Alfonso Pedraza. Danny Parejo and Francis Coquelin are in midfield alongside Manu Trigueros, and Gerard Moreno, Paco Alcacer and Samu Chukwueze are up front for them. And things should be far more straightforward for Manchester United. They take a 6-2 first leg lead into tonight's second game with Roma at the Stadio Olimpico. And it's a pretty strong United team, despite the margin of their lead. David De Gea in goal, a back four of Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Eric Bailly, Harry Maguire and Luke Shaw. Fred and Donny van de Beek are in midfield, with Paul Pogba, Bruno Fernandes and Mason Greenwood in behind the lone striker, Edinson Cavani. For Roma, Antonio Morante is in goal for them. A back four of Rick Karsdorp, Chris Smalling, Roger Ibanez and Bruno Perez. Brian Cristante, Gianluca Mancini are in midfield, with Pedro, Lorenzo Pellegrini and Henrik Mkhitaryan in behind Edin Dzeko. Kickoff in both matches at 8 p.m.
Somewhat surprising to see the likes of Fernandes and Maguire starting, Joe, because Manchester United have this insane run of fixtures coming up over the next week. So they're playing Roma tonight, where it's pretty much done and dusted. Then they've 3 Premier League games in the space of 5 days, essentially. They play Aston Villa. We're going to have it live on Sunday at 2:05 in the Premier League. So that's Sunday. Tuesday they play Leicester, and then Thursday they play Liverpool.
Yeah, going to be full on. I would say he's still reeling from when he made all those changes against Sheffield United, and it kind of ruined all their momentum. You know those nights, Nathan, European football, Roma score one or two early, it gets away from you, and suddenly it's like a career ender. So I just think he's taken zero chances, understandably.
Yeah, and they're pretty much guaranteed their spot in the Champions League from the Premier League anyways. A couple of other stories, Richie. So we had Jack Chambers in here a couple of weeks back saying that Irish athletes wouldn't be vaccinated ahead of the Olympics unless, of course, their cohort had come around. But it seems that may change.
Yeah, the IOC have essentially taken it out of the hands of the health board. Olympic and Paralympic athletes will be given the chance to be vaccinated against COVID-19 before traveling to Tokyo. The International Olympic Committee has accepted an offer from Pfizer to provide vaccines to athletes and support staff preparing to compete at this summer's Olympics and Paralympics. Vaccines for Irish athletes will be made available through the Olympic Federation of Ireland.
And just one final story, Richie, to finish up. Shane Duffy,
Yeah, his disastrous loan spell at Celtic, it looks like it's over. Celtic still have two games to go in the Scottish Premiership, but it's reported this evening that Duffy has already been sent back to Brighton, where the Republic of Ireland defender still has 2 years left to run at his contract.
Yeah, it really was an absolute disaster, Joe. You'd expect that it'll be probably a short spell, recuperate at Brighton and out again on loan, potentially Championship club next season.
Yeah, I would have thought that exactly the same thing, yeah. Big year or two coming up for Shane Duffy's career, isn't it?
Yeah, you don't want it to just peter out at this stage. Like, he had done so well, become such an established Premier League player, was without question the main man with the national side, and all of that, unfortunately, over the past 12 months has just fallen apart for him. Just before we finish up, Richie, the World Cup qualifying campaign for the women's national team, the fixtures have been announced?
Yeah, it's going to start away to Georgia. Vera Pauw's side will play their first game on September 17th. The first home match will be against Sweden on October 21st. Only the 9 group winners will qualify for the finals directly, with the runners-up entering via the playoffs.
All right, great stuff as always, Richie. Joe, thanks to you.
All right, boys.
The News Round on Off The Ball.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.